Of course you are.
Oh, well, there we go. There we go.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for being here on a Thursday. We are going to do some news, do a little Make Me Smile, and get on about things. I guess we'll do the news. Should we do the news?
Yes. Let's do the news.
All right, let's do the news. I'll tell you what. I'll go first because I'm going to have some commentary on some of the things you were talking about.
Okay.
So this morning on CNBC, an amazing thing happened. And we're just going to play the tape. It's Senator Loomis and Senator Gillibrand. Andrew Ross Sorkin had asked a question in which he said, it has been proposed by Fidelity, first of all, that people be allowed to put crypto in their retirement. And the Department of Labor and many others, Ross Sorkin said, have said that's a terrible, terrible idea. And Senator Loomis answered, and we're just going to hit this tape. Here you go.
I think the Labor Department's wrong. I think it's a wonderful idea. It should be part of a diversified asset allocation, and it should be on the end of the spectrum of a store of value. Obviously, if you have a fully diversified asset allocation, you have some assets that you want to produce income in the short run. You also want some assets that are just a store of value. And I think that's where Bitcoin really shines. I think it's some of the hardest money that's ever been created in the world. And for that reason, it belongs as a slice of a diversified asset allocation for retirement funds.
Senator Gillibrand, you agree? Disagree?
Hang on.
No, I agree.
Okay, so holy
cow.
Holy cow, holy cow, holy cow, holy cow. Let me count the ways in which that statement is just cray-cray. Number one, the idea that Bitcoin right now is a store of value just flies in the face of the facts, right? Bitcoin is incredibly volatile. It's down umpteen percent since its high of like 60, like at least 50%, right? Its high was $64,000. Now it's like around 30, right? Consult your own financial advisor. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. But please think twice before you put crypto in your retirement, number one. Number two, and this is actually the really, I'm going to say it, deceitful part of this. On her financial disclosure forms that senators are required to file, Senator Loomis listed on her 2021 form an investment in cryptocurrency of between $100,000 and $250,000. Okay. Senator Loomis is what is known as long Bitcoin. She has invested her real actual money in Bitcoin. And here she is pumping up Bitcoin to regular investors, although regular investors probably don't watch a lot of CNBC, but that's a whole different thing, to regular people saying they should buy it. That is not cool. And Gillibrand, I mean, come on. I can't.
So, like, she has a vested interest in Bitcoin continuing to perform well in the long term. And this is the person who's helping write the legislation to regulate Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I just – that didn't – I tried to get in a marketplace today, but we didn't have enough room and whatever. So it goes here. And tell your friends because, man – anyway, that bugged me all day. It's been bugging me all day.
With any extraordinarily volatile and high-risk thing, you know, you got to – if you're going to put money in it, put in money that you can afford to lose. And your retirement is generally not money you can afford to lose.
No. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Anyway, so that's my news.
I didn't see that. Wow. Wow. Okay.
It's insane, right? I mean, come on. Ugh.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, there are going to be there was a letter that went out from the Bitcoin Alliance. There's a trade, an industry and trade group that is supportive of Bitcoin. And they've been out talking, saying, look, for all of its issues, there Bitcoin can be really helpful when you think about regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
mm-hmm.
think about some of the good that Bitcoin does. For example, because of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, people were able to flood money into Ukraine to support the war effort, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that was mm-hmm. really helpful. Political dissidents in different countries that can't use their regular banking system because of authoritarian regimes that are tracking them down, they can get their funding through Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and that is helping them, you know, stay afloat in very difficult situations. And so they're highlighting the way that this can be used for good too. But mm-hmm. like this is not.
Don't put it in your retirement. Just don't do that. All right.
Okay. So just very quickly, I'm gonna get my popcorn in Old Bay and my glass of red wine and sit down to watch the hearings tonight. I encourage everyone to watch the hearings from the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. That's happening in primetime tonight. If you miss it, it'll be on C-SPAN and probably everywhere. This is a real important moment for us as a country. I was listening to the BBC this morning, and I guess it was Norm Ornstein who had the piece in the New York Times today, the op-ed, and he was saying that this is really important and a chance for us to, you know, have real accountability. And it sort of sent me down this mental rabbit hole of, okay, let's just say that the Select Committee has enough evidence to reliably accuse former mm-hmm. President Donald Trump of a crime, enough that they refer it to the Department of Justice for him to be charged with a crime. I'm just imagining how it's going to go when they try to arrest him or try to put him on trial.
Yeah.
And knowing what his supporters did on January 6, 2021. And there's a real risk here of violence, of severe political unrest. But if there is not real accountability for what's happened, what does that mean for our democracy? So yep. It's important to watch. It's important to be thoughtful and you know, if we're going to be a nation that is a rule of law, you know, this stuff matters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Speaking of our democracy, I shall read for you today, you know, just because I guess I've been on an amendments kick lately. You know, we talked about the Sixth and the Second Amendment last week. Mm-hmm. So today I want to talk about the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized, commonly known as the amendment protecting you from unwarranted search and seizure. This is, you know, what spawned the Miranda rights, which means that mm-hmm. in general, police and federal officials can't just randomly go into your house, beat you up, or arrest you. Okay. That leads me to a ruling from the Supreme Court yesterday that has made it more difficult for U.S. citizens to bring lawsuits against federal employees who violate those rights. And this is a piece in Government Executive. Vox has a really good explainer on it as well. This case had to do with a really shady dude on the Canadian border who was probably doing and very likely doing some really illicit stuff in over time. But in this particular incident, a border patrol agent, a federal law enforcement agent, went onto his property, tried to interrogate somebody, and this person got in the way, and he got shoved and beat up by this border patrol agent, right? One could argue mm-hmm. this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. The court has decided, basically, that you can no longer individually sue federal law enforcement officials, particularly border patrol agents, if you believe they've violated your Fourth Amendment rights. Now, there's a lot of detail to this ruling and nuance and context, and I encourage you to go and read some of these pieces, especially the Vox piece that really gets into it. But in particular, there's, if you're talking about Border Patrol agents, many of them have authority up to 100 miles from the U.S. border, right? And so and this is in Sonia Sotomayor's dissent, she's like, so basically what we're saying here is that anywhere within 100 miles of the border, U.S. federal officers can enter someone's home without a warrant or, you know, assault somebody, and they cannot be individually sued, you know, for violating those rights, which was something that used to be allowed. And so her, as she laid out in her dissent, what's the point of the Fourth Amendment if there's no enforcement mechanism for it? So, this is happening. This is happening. And it's important to be aware. And, you know, when the court does something like this, it then turns to Congress to actually put into law something different. And now Congress will have to do that if we want something different.
Except Congress doesn't really do much. But that's a whole different conversation. I know. We're going to talk about that. We're going to do a Tuesday on that.
But you said you had something to say about, I'm guessing, about January 6th.
I'm guessing about January 6th, and I alluded to this the other day, and I really hope that those of you with young people in your households, encourage them to watch. Because as I said the other day, it is a memory of mine from 40, whatever the hell years ago it is, of watching this in my grandparents' house. And I would argue that this is as important. I was hearing some analysis today saying, ooh, this is as important as the Trump impeachment hearings. I would suggest that this is actually as important as Watergate. It's more important than the Trump impeachment hearings. It's as important as Watergate for what it means for this democracy. And it is vital that we remember. And the way we remember is by watching and seeing and taking it in and then talking about it. For all the reasons that Kimberly laid out, but also just because we have to know. We have to know so that it doesn't happen again. That's my spiel.
I'm torn between whether I want to watch it on, like, not actual Fox, but the secondary Fox where it's going to run. If I want to watch it, Fox Business, or if I want to watch it on PBS. A part of me wants to watch it on Fox Business just to see how it's presented in that platform, because you can always glean so much from the chyrons, the writing
the chyrons,
on the lower
right,
third of, you know, and of the Fox audience that chooses to watch. They'll probably be watching it there, even though they won't be running it on their main network. And I think there's value. I was on Fox's website this morning looking at their January 6th page, and it's straight ahead, the website, the page that they have setting up the hearings. You wouldn't probably be able to distinguish it from any other news site. And now the front page obviously is a whole other thing. I remember when I was an intern at Fox, like, the journalists there were working so hard to be like, live up to the fair and balanced thing. Now, granted, this was like years and years and years ago. It was fascinating over the years to watch the people who I used to work with, who took such pride in their work, just slowly but surely leave the network because they just couldn't anymore.
Yeah, because they can't anymore. They can't. And it's tough to say, actually. Well, you can't really say Fox News is a journalism outfit anymore, right? It's propaganda and posturing. And lies.
I mean, but then you still have some journalists there, you know, some of which I'm hoping to talk to eventually, who are doing really solid work, like Chad Pergram, who has been covering Capitol Hill for years and years and years. And this is a straight ahead, you know, solid as they go journalist.
Totally
he works
agree.
For Fox
totally
News
agree.
Radio and sometimes goes on air.
That's what I was going to say. He's not Fox News, the Fox News that is Bret Baier and you know, Marsh McCallum and all of those people who get the big primetime programming, and which Fox News channel is allowing to counter-program the January 6th hearings, right? That's what's happening. Hmm. So, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. We need to smile.
Make me smile,
let's
shall
do it.
Yes.
Let's. Yes.
I'm kind of surprised you did not pick this one, Kimberly Adams. I'm kind of surprised. I thought, go ahead.
I was torn. I really was, but I wanted, my make me smile I originally had as my news fix, but I wanted to fit all of my things into the news fix, so I moved this to the make me smile. That's what happened.
That's some strategic make me smarting there. So let me say, just as a way to set this one up, that Kimberly and I are both space geeks. We both enjoy space. We had a very brief exchange yesterday on Slack about, and this was truly almost terrifying, a micrometeorite hit on the web, one of the web mirrors.
God.
We talked about the Webb
My
Space
heart.
Telescope, right? And that could be really bad. Also, the rover on Mars has gotten a rock stuck in its wheel, and it's
rock.
Got a little pet rock. Right, it's great. So I saw this one today, and I was like, "Oh, Kimberly will have grabbed this already." But lo and behold, I went to the rundown, and she had not. So two things about this: one, it exists, and then another item, which I'll get to in a minute. NASA has started a scientific study to find out if UFOs exist. Okay, which is great, and I'm really glad that the shame of UFO belief has been punctured. Thank you, Harry Reid, and everybody who has worked for years, because, look, my belief is that it's just not possible that we are alone in the universe. It's just not, right? So, of
what
course, UFOs
What does the movie say?
It
would be a waste of space?
Right. I mean, it just stands to reason. It can't possibly be that we're alone in the universe. So this is great. The catch, of course, is that NASA's going to spend, oh my gosh, $100,000. I mean, you can't get a rover wheel for $100,000. Forget studying UFOs. So do better, NASA. That's all I'm saying. Do better. But good that they're studying it.
I mean, does that even pay the salary of a NASA scientist?
No.
Well, maybe
so
it'll pay for a couple of luncheons or a conference or something.
Some meetings or something. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
Okay. Mine is probably the thing that parents all over this country have been waiting for. The White House finally says it's going to be rolling out a vaccination program for the youngest kids. And it's been something parents of small children have really just had it, kids under five. And so the White House is saying that, these vaccinations could start as early as the week of June 20th. And then that program is going to be ramping up as more doses are delivered and more appointments are becoming available. And it's fascinating how they're rolling out these vaccines. And Bridget was looking at this and highlighted this to me. Vaccinations are going to be available. And I'm reading here from the White House fact sheet. At pediatricians and other doctors' offices, of course, community health centers, rural health clinics, children's hospitals, public health centers, all the places where you might imagine that. But also in other places, museums, Head Start program, Department of Housing and Urban Development, all these other cool places where within the National Diaper Bank Network, things where you might have people want to go and take their kids and make it kind of a fun thing, especially when, kids might be scared of shots. So I think that's really cool. No, that's
it is cool. And yay for all those parents out there.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. That's it for us today. Kai and I will be back tomorrow with Economics on Tap. We'll do the YouTube live stream. That's at 6:30 Eastern where I am, 3:30 Pacific where Kai is on the other side of the country. And we will have more news, a game, drinks. I'm going to bet with a very large degree of certainty that I'll want to talk about what went down at the hearings.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No question about it. In the meanwhile, send us your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your observations, your compliments, your critiques. Be gentle. Email us, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us a message if you like. 508-UB-SMART. It's either a voice memo or a voicemail, but I'm just going to call it a message. Thank you Bridget, for changing that in the rundown. I appreciate that.
I think that works. I appreciate that.
I think it does, too. I feel seen.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Olivia Zhao is our intern. Today's episode was engineered by Juan Carlos Torrado.
Bridget Bodner is in charge of this podist. Donna Tam.
And sees you.
She's director on demand. That's right. Bridget sees me. She hears me. Well, you know, I complain enough.
Hears you. Values your perspective and insights and all the things.
All right, wait. Oh, no, she just left.
Oh, wait, it was Marissa.
That might have been Marissa. Marissa. So Marissa ought to be in charge.
Bridget doesn't see you.
Yay, Marissa. Bridget doesn't care about me.